Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody righteous, although possibly for a truly good person, one might have the courage to die. But Yah demonstrates his own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. Have you accepted Yahusha as your personal Savior and Redeemer? Hallelujah. Beshem Yahusha HaMashiach. Abba, first and foremost, I want to ask you to forgive me for for the sin I commit against you. I ask you to cleanse my heart and my mind by the blood of Yahushua, of my iniquity. I ask you to strengthen me by your Spirit, that I may stand before you, that I may stand before your people, that I may minister your word according to your will and not go astray to the right or to the left. That you hear my prayer as I bow the knees of my heart before you on behalf of your sons and your daughters, scattered to and fro in this world. I thank you, Abba, for blessing me to see another day. I thank you, Abba, for my health and my strength. And I ask you on behalf of Israel to please forgive each and every one of us for the sin that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, willingly and unwillingly. And I pray that through your compassion, mercy, and grace, you cleanse each and every one of us by the blood of Yahushua of our iniquity. Abba, I ask for strength by way of your Spirit to be given to each and every one of us, that we may all continue in your word, to your voice, that we may all grow in submission to your divine will. And where we are weak, Abba, I ask you to strengthen us mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, whichever it be that we as individuals need to be strengthened. Pray on behalf of Israel that you strengthen each and every one of us, that we may all walk according to your divine will. Abba, I pray for those who are suffering from physical ailment, that you strengthen them and bring them healing. I pray for those who are suffering from the loss of a loved one or loss in general, that you comfort us and continue helping us on behalf of your sons and your daughters of Israel. I pray that you raise up a man after your own heart. I pray that you send us a man who represents you to speak your word according to your will, that we all may be led and guided to be unified in heart and mind with you and your son. I ask these things humbly and sincerely, and I beseech you to search the depths of my heart to see if these things are true. For we are all sinners, saved by your grace, your mercy, and your compassion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth. Shalom, Mishpachah. Peaceful Sabbath to you all. Welcome once again to Bina Dura, Understanding Torah, as we continue going through the scroll of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, and we will be picking up in chapter 7 today. We started off in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, because of a thought that the Most High had given me. And if you hear me, I was about to ask that too. Hallelujah. And the reason why we looked at that passage first, person, because I believe that as believers, and I want to use this as an example. Let's look at the term Christian, which we know we don't necessarily acknowledge ourselves as Christian, but let's walk with me for a minute. The term Christian is a derivative of the word Christ, which we understand means anointed. So to be acknowledged as a Christian simply means that you are acknowledging yourself as being of the anointed. It can mean being of the body of the Messiah. It can also allude to yourself as being an anointed vessel of the Most High. As we, once we have repented, once we are immersed in the name of the Messiah, we receive the Holy Spirit anointing us all. So saying that, I wanted to come to the point in regard to why we started off there. We all have aspirations, or let me say it this way. We all should have aspirations to be like the Messiah. But as that old saying, which may sound a little cliche, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. You see, now throughout the course of the, I don't even want to call it a lesson today, but we do understand from our walk, and I'm referencing a CD we listened to, years ago, Life's a Lesson. We do understand that from day to day, throughout our lives, we're constantly learning. And life is, in fact, a lesson. So I guess to some degree it is a lesson today, but just sharing, you know, opening up and hopefully the things that either helps me to see about myself to you all seeing things about yourselves. And just to give you an example, and this is the thought that I will take from my mind. When we think about Melech, David, King David, right? King David, if he was alive today, would be considered a man's man, you know? And what I mean by that is this. He was a warrior. So he was respected by other warriors. Not only was he a warrior, according to what we learn about him in Holy Scripture, he was a handsome man, somebody that the woman or the women would be attracted to. But not only that, he was a psalmist. He wrote songs. Not only did he write songs, he sang songs. Not only did he sing songs, he played an instrument. So he had all of these good characteristics about him. But when we go back to some of the things that he actually wrote, some of the songs that he poured forth his heart, hear my cry, oh Yah, unto my prayer. Or, in my distress, I cried unto Yahweh. And there are several other songs we can go to where what we are hearing, this man's man pouring out his heart, he's sad about something. He's crying about something. But in order for us to really grasp that, we can read that, and we know what the word cry means. You know, I'm sure throughout our lives, everybody has had an opportunity to cry about something, and even if it didn't bring you to tears, at some point in your life, you have felt sad about something. Maybe you wanted to cry, but were too manly and didn't want to cry. Or maybe not even saying being too manly, being too prideful, and didn't want to cry. You know? And we know it from a linguistic standpoint when we just read what the word teaches us. But why did David feel that way? what was going on in his heart and his mind to bring him to the point on numerous occasions that he wrote about crying out to the Most High. Did David come to realize that we all have to come to the realization of? So, little history. Take it as you want it. You could either accept or reject, you know, as with everything in life. So, there's a song that came out, and y'all know how much I like music. I shared some things with you in a previous teacher in regard to that. Maybe even previous teachers, who knows? But anyway, there was a song that came out, and funny thing is, I recently found out that it came out, or it was released on January the 15th, 1986, you know? And that was back in my heyday. I was a senior in high school, and I was making tapes to submit to the radio to be played, et cetera, et cetera. So one day I go over to the radio station to submit a tape, and the DJ gave me this promotional record to listen to, you know. So I took that record home, and it just so happened I liked it. Now, the record did not become a big hit for this group. I don't know if it was a local group, but it was a group that was just starting off, you know. And I remember, as I shared with you all before, when I hear a song that I like, what I have a tendency to do is to play that song over and over and over. Now, this was in 1986. Now, things happened, things occurred in my life, and I was doing the calculations earlier today, and that would be 36 years ago. 36 years, you know. This doesn't seem like a lot to some, but nevertheless, it was 36 years ago. Now, I had been looking for this song for a long time. And what's interesting about it, I remember the name of the group, and I remember the hook of the song. And I was looking for it. I was searching for it. Just so happened, I found it earlier this week. So once I found it, I had to listen to it to see if it was the right one. The name of the group was right. The name of the song or the hook, it was right. So I had to listen to it, and then as I listened to it, and then it broke back, and I said, this is the song. But when I listened to it, and I had listened to it several times since I came across it, the thought that the Most High came, or rather brought to my mind, is that I am in the same position that I was in when I first heard that song. So it's like I've come full circle. That's the way that I was looking at it. That's the way I am looking at it. Not was, in the sense that I'm not looking at it like that anymore. That's the way I am seeing it right now in regard to my life. And when I look back at these past 36 years, I am filled a lot of regret over the bad choices, bad decisions that I've made throughout the years. And you can't get that time back, and you can't undo those choices or those decisions. And I know some of you listening may ask, what does this have to do with the opening passage? Well, this is what it has to do. Sometimes in life, especially in the life of a believer, in the life of man, be it woman, who is walking after the Messiah, because we have this desire, we have this aspiration to be like him. Sometimes, and I think it's safe to say all the time, in order for us to be that way, what we are often unaware of is how we're going to get there. What is it that we as individuals has to go through in order for us to become like the Messiah. And it's easy to say, Father, make me like the Son, like your Son. Make me one with you and him. But, you know, when we ask that, when we say those words, you know what we don't think about? Especially looking at him in the flesh. And I understand what we've learned. We don't look at the Messiah after the flesh anymore, but after the Spirit. I'm speaking to you knowing and understanding that. But he walked in this flesh. Let's not lose sight of that. And when he was in this flesh, you know what else it says? That he learned obedience by the things he suffered. There's a passage that talks about him being a man acquainted with grief. But we're supposed to rejoice. Yes, we are supposed to rejoice. But before we get to that rejoicing, guess what? Something has to happen with us. Like the brother's touching on in his ongoing series, what is evil? Turkey backing on a breach in the spirit. See? There is a reason, and I know you hear these words, there is a reason why humanity is in the predicament. We're not blaming Adam and Hawa for that. There's no blame to be given. Creator's divine will, accept it or reject it. It's up to you. It's up to us as individuals. But in this life, it's not going to be all honky-dory, as the saying goes. And we've heard this. You know, this is a reality that Rabbi came to. When he would tell us, and we've throughout the years, we rehashed this over and over in personal conversation. I've heard brothers in different times teach this when they were bringing forth the word, how he never promised us a rose garden. And then I believe somebody else said, but a rose garden does have thorns. These are the parts, the unpleasant parts, that typically we as individuals, we don't want to experience that. This is why Ecclesiastes is called the party pooper. If the Bible was a party, Ecclesiastes is a party pooper. You know why? And it's because what Shlomo was bringing to the table is what we call what is real. He's bringing the real to the table. Partially because of the wisdom that was given to him to look at his own life, and we're going to look at a term in a moment, to look at his own life, but then because of the wisdom that was given to him, he was also able to look at the lives of others. There's a saying that goes this way. A wise man learns from his own mistakes, but a wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. So not only has the Most High given me as an individual an opportunity to look at my own personal life, but he also gives me the opportunity to look at the lives of others. Who am I is a question that I've been asking myself. I am no one, am I? I am nothing. Dust I am, and to dust I shall return. But I have accepted, I believe that a work was done through Yahusha, and I accept him as my personal Savior and Redeemer. But that does not change what I as an individual have to go through. it will not remove it. It's not like in some, and for lack of a better way of saying it, in some magical way, you're just going to move from feeling down to feeling up overnight, especially when you're brought to reality of who you are. Somebody once told me years ago that I'm just another motor scooter. We all know what that means. At first, I took offense to it, but as the years passed, what I've come to the realization of is that that person was right. I'm just another motor scooter. That's it. I accept that. Special about me. I mentioned that before. I'm accepting that, you know. And when you go through these writings that Brother Shlomo, especially for me, and I believe the timing of it it's like he never misses. And I believe the brother was talking about that to some degree last night. You see? Abba never misses. He knows exactly what we as individuals need. So he leads us, he guides us. And if we're taking heed to where he leads and where he guides, some of the pathway that we're going to come across is going to be difficult for us. But it's according to his will. And that's the hard part. Because no matter how I try to look at it, no matter how I try to shift my thoughts in regard to that, and, you know, I listened to a teaching by Rabbi Israel, the call of answer. And if you've been checking a couple of the texts that I sent out, I've been missing that, Israel, the call of answer. It's a good teacher, you know. But if you have a copy of it, listen to it. You know, and I found it to be refreshing, but at the same time, it was timely for me because something that he mentioned in there. He was talking about how we complained about problems. And then in the course of him discussing that, he then mentioned, think about the woman with the seven sons in the Maccabees, right? And then ask yourself, do you have problems? And I understood that because one of the things that I do right now throughout the course of the week, if I am not studying or if I am not teaching, and when I think about the studying aspect and I think about the teaching aspect, it is all connected to his word. In between my studying and my teaching, I am commiserating about my life. Because I don't like how things have turned out for me. Some people on the outside looking in may not understand that. Well, you're not going to understand that because you're not me. Even though I try to express as much as I can, I'll never be able to give you all the details about who I am as an individual. I'm able to give you bits and pieces of it, but because you are not me, you're not going to understand where I'm coming from. In some instances, you may be able to relate based on your own lives, and maybe there's something similar that you're going through. But that's how I feel. And I know it's wrong to feel that way. I know that it's wrong. I know I shouldn't feel the way that I feel as far as hating the outcome of my life. I know that. But I still feel like that. And let me add this. This is not just because of my wife dying. It's not just because of my son dying. It's not just because of those. It's because of the realization of who I am as a person, and I hate the person that I am. I hate that. So here's the simple solution. Change it. Fix it. I'm working on that. But it's not going to take place in the snap of a finger. As I mentioned just a moment ago, it's not going to take place magically. So you've been walking this way for 30-something years and you still feel this way? Absolutely. You know why? Because a lot of times we don't realize who we are. Think we know who we are. So when we're reading in the Bible, because the way that the Bible is written a lot of times, we don't realize in between things taking place, time has passed. So we go from one chapter where Abraham is 75 years old, and then another chapter, next thing you know, he's 99 years old. How much time passed between being 75 and 99? That's a lot of years. And we don't get every intricate detail of Abraham's life, or what the man went through. But that's the same for us. When we read about these men in this Bible, you're talking about periods of time throughout a lifespan. Things happen. Things occur. Things don't move fast. Life, I mean, I know, you know, the older you get, you seem like time moves so fast. And I was thinking the other day, I was talking to somebody the other day, within the next 2 weeks, it would have been a year since my wife passed away. It's almost a year already. Now, part of me thinking, wow, time is moving fast. But when I talk to another brother, you know what? Time appears to be moving slow for him. So it depends on where you are in life and what it is that you're going through, which determines how you view things. Well, for me, coming to this realization now of my life as an individual, like I said, I'm filled with a lot of regret. I feel unworthy. Why am I here? What is, as one brother was mentioning, what is my purpose? You see? Saying that question. But I don't know how he's doing it. I can't speak for him. But when I think about it, I'm looking at it from the perspective of me as an individual and what I as an individual have been through. What's my purpose? You could have found somebody better to do this than me. That's my thought about it. When I realize who I am. Now, I know I'm listening to me, and I hopefully y'all don't take this as being, you know, me ranting and things like that, because that's not what it is. You're hearing an individual that, for the most part, I think for those who do listen, most of you know me. I mean, you may not know me intimately in that sense. You know, and even people who think they're close to me still doesn't know me intimately, because there's only so much that I reveal about myself. Unless the Most High reveals it to you. Now, if he reveals that, that's one thing. See, sometimes the Creator can reveal an individual to somebody and help them to see exactly who they are. But for the most part, y'all don't know me. I know me, as each of you knows who you are as an individual, which I thought was a, I don't think the word timely is one that should be used, but I can't think of the appropriate term. But the reason why the song Man in the Mirror was played last night, because I thought it was appropriate, in addition to the fact that the brother mentioned it in the course of his teaching, but it also was a segue into today's discussion or lesson. Because I understood where the Creator was taking me, and I thought it would be a good way to in that teaching and the grief into this teaching. But anyway, the word that I wanted to mention to you all is introspection. Introspection. See? And when you look up that term, introspection, right? And with words, what you find is that they are, they can be broken down. You know, every language, you know, has words where we can break these words down and get a better understanding. You know, now the term introspection is related, of course, to introspect. And what it simply means is to look into or examine one's own mind, feelings, etc. So throughout the course of going through Ecclesiastes, it has been as I am able to share what Abba allows me to share in regard to what I'm learning, hopefully it will be a benefit to you. And throughout the years that Abba has given me the honor and has given me the privilege to stand before him and to be a representative for him and to stand before you and to teach you whatever it is that Abba has allowed me to teach you, if you don't learn anything else from this brother that you hear right now, learn from the mistakes that I have made. If you don't learn anything else, take a lot of what I'm saying and apply it to your life so that you don't do the same thing that I've done, so that you are not in the same predicament that I am in. If you learn anything, learn that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, starting at verse 1, he says, a good reputation at the time of death is better than loving care at the time of birth. Now, the version that I'll be reading from today is the contemporary English version. And I've read through several versions, and this version, personally, I found to be the most clear, the most concise in regard to everybody understanding the simplicity of Brother Shlomo's message. He says, again, some translations say a good name, which we understand the term name also can refer to a reputation or the character, etc. A good reputation at the time of death is better than loving care at the time of birth. Now, he's going to expound on this. He says, verse 2, it's better to go to a funeral than to attend a feast. Now, when I first read that clause, it sounded strange, but let's continue. Funerals remind us that we all must die, which is why if given the opportunity, and I'm not saying this because I'm looking forward to the next funeral, of course not. That's one of the realities of life that nobody looks forward to, the losing of a loved one, you know. But when given that opportunity to preside over a funeral, this is why the message is directed to everybody who's in attendance. Because what lays before us in that casket is the reality that every one of us is going to be in at some point. Now think back, walk it back. Look at my wife. Matter of fact, before we get to that, Brother Brown, okay, my wife, Brother Shelton, these are all people that we knew. Rabbi, my son, Aliora's son. These are all people at one point who are alive and well. We knew them, but at some point they passed away. Reality for us. Of course y'all know that, right? But this is where we are. This is why he's saying this. This is why it's better to go to a funeral than to attend a feast. Funerals remind us that we all must die. The intent and purpose is, while we are alive, hopefully the reality that this same fate awaits us, we will do what we need to do to be in right standing, right? But you know, he says, verse 3, choose sorrow over laughter, because a sad face may hide a happy heart. Okay. In most cases, we do not want to choose sorrow over laughter. We don't. I would rather be happy than to be sorrowful. Wouldn't you? Think about it. But this is what he's referring to. We think about laughter. And he's going to touch on some things, and he's building. And see, and here's another point before I go on. what we're actually reading, if you can just imagine, I know we're breaking it down chapter by chapter, but this is a conversation that Brother Shlomo was having. This is the conversation. And I would suggest to you, you know, you can do it before we finish, you can do it after we finish, or however. But if you get an opportunity, if you have an audio Bible, sit down and just listen to Ecclesiastes as it's read through. And if you have this, like the verses where it's dramatized, I mean, listen to it like that. Because what's being expressed, this is Brother Shlomo talking to us, albeit it was written down, but he's talking to us. And when you think about it, even when you hear my voice right now, before every word comes out of my mouth, it's being configured in my mind first. Then it's being brought forth. You see? Whether it be in preparation for a lesson, whether it be a teaching that you're going to put on paper for the purpose of publishing in a magazine, it all starts in your mind. And what's being shown to us, we're being shown for the Shlomo's mind based on the wisdom given to him by the Most High. So he's having a conversation with us. And he's sharing with us some of his insights, things that he's learned. So when he says that she's in sorrow over laughter, he's going to touch on why laughter is an issue. Now, it's not saying that laughter is bad in the sense that we shouldn't laugh. But when we think about laughter, sometimes laughter indicates what people refer to as a frivolous frame of mind. And his point is that when we're in a more serious mood, think about that. We tend to think more seriously about life. So he says, choose sorrow over laughter because a sad face may hide a happy heart. A sensible person mourns. Now he's going to, you hear what's being said here? He's still building on that. A sensible person mourns. But fools always laugh. You hear that? How is it that we're viewing life? Are we viewing life as this sensible person? Now, as we go through, and there's some things I want to say, but I don't want to jump the gun because he's actually going to break a lot of these things down as we go through this chapter. And, you know, again, you have to give praise to the Most High, and I'm speaking personally because he knows what I'm going through as an individual. And this is actually perfect for me to be going through Ecclesiastes right now. It's perfect. Again, like the brother likes to say, I will make it do what it do. Maybe it's something helpful to you too. I don't know. Only you can tell. But I know that it's being helpful to me because it's helping me to see the error of my ways. Hold up, brother. You mean tell me you didn't see the error of your ways before this? Of course there's something that you know that you do wrong. But now what he has to do sometimes, he has to get to the root and to the core of who an individual is. And this is what people, I hope, are getting from this. Sometimes it takes time to get down to what really needs to be removed. Because a lot of times in our walk with the Most High, we are mostly superficial. It's easy for, you know, for us to dress a certain way. You know, we put on our boots as men. You know, you may wear your head covered as a woman, or you may have on your modest apparel, and you can look the part. It's easy to look the part. You can get around people, and you can quote different verses from the Bible to inspire people and things like that. All that's superficial. Just because you do that does not mean that you're changing on the inside. And that's the reality. We have learned to be good actors and actresses. Yes, we have. We have learned that. See, that's part of, as the brother's going through, what is evil. We have learned how to dress up our wrongdoing. We have learned how to justify our wrongdoing and put a spin on it, like Dave Chappelle said, the age of spin. We've learned how to spin it and make things look in our favor. We've learned that. What the Creator has to do, he has to remove that superficiality from us, and he has to get to, once again, the root and the core of who we as individuals are. And that does not happen overnight. You know why? Because our walk with the Most High is a lifetime experience. All we read about in Holy Scripture is these men, and we learn about all of the foolishness that they had in them when they were younger. But we see that they've grown, and then as they grow, we see it, that they get closer, and they get closer to the Most High. You think that's not going to happen with us? I know when I came into this way of life, I was 19, about to be 20 years old. Foolishness. That's because you came into this way of life does not mean that you got it. No. You got to learn now. And think about it. As far as this way of life goes, I'm only 34 years old in this way of life. That's young in this way of life. So what, in my first 10 years of what I was supposed to get it all, my first 20 years I'm supposed to get up, my first 30 years, of course not. That's not what the Word teaches us. That's why, again, Abraham was 75 years old when he got the call. 5 years of his life is in this Word, but we don't get every nook and cranny of it. We get certain aspects of it, certain excerpts that the Most High inspired Brother Moshe to write. But in between that time, what was going on? The book of Jasher don't tell you all of that. People like to look at that as a filler. No, it's not. And again, it's a filler as far as the superficial part. You may get a, you know, filler some blank for the superficial part of this life, but as far as the core and the root of, you know why? Because it's something that we as individuals have to go through. It's only when people such as a Brother Shlomo or a Brother Dawid share with us what's going on with them that we get that. And once we get to a certain point in our life, then we start to see that. Then it becomes reality to us, because up until that point, we just quote the scripture because maybe it sounds good. Maybe it fits with the circumstance that we're dealing with because we're talking to somebody, and if I add this scripture to the conversation, that's supposed to make some type of change. We're using the Word in that capacity. But the scripture says this. In one place he says that he's going to take that stony heart from us and he's going to make it into a heart of flesh, right? The point being is that the heart is stony. Our hearts are stony. That goes right back to human nature, that carnal mind, right? But then in another place he says this. He said, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Well, guess what? You know what? The stony heart that we all possess, because we know what the Word says about our heart. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Guess what? Abba knows it. Brother talked about that last night. Clearly, that's us. We like to separate ourselves from that when we accept the Messiah, but that does not happen overnight. You think that's because you accept the Messiah and you're saved and you're redeemed? And again, I want to emphasize, accept. Just because we accept him does not automatically change us. What that does, that acceptance of him, that guarantees us a place in the kingdom if we truly accept him. But there's still a work we need to do, which is why you got in another place, the brother said, Moshe, is being taught in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And then another place it says that we should not forsake the assembly of the brethren. You see? So the Most High has set up a system. What's this system? That we go to a place that he has designed, that he has established, so that we can hear his word with the intent and purpose of that word, which is like a hammer breaking that rock, which is this stony heart, so he can get to what is more malleable, as I've heard some say, that heart of flesh. But when you think about the idea of breaking, you know what the Holy Scripture teaches about the broken spirit, the contrite heart? If that has to happen, doesn't it seem that there's going to be some type of pain involved in that? Find out who we really are, and the Creator breaks us down, and we start to see how selfish I am, how self-centered I am. You see, we talked about the three areas that every human being struggles with: hedonism, materialism, intellectualism. Every last one of us struggle with that in some way, shape, or form. How many of us want to be seen for something, whatever it may be? We want to be seen as the fun-loving type, always around everything, in everything, about everything. We want to see us, we want to be seen as the person who has, you know, the good things that life has to offer. Or we want to be seen as somebody who has a good head on their shoulder and, you know, who may be woke or who may be conscious or who may be educated or whatever the case may be. Every human being falls in one of those categories, and it's based on us being selfish. It's based on us being self-centered. And a lot of times we put that spin on things, and we justify what it is that we be doing only to come across the word of Elohim, which is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And you know why we come across that? Because we ask for it. Allah, shape me and mold me in your image and after your likeness. Okay. Now the ball is rolling. The wheels are turning. And we living our life and we doing our life. We doing whatever it is that we want to do. At some point, we come to the realization, I need to consult the Most High before I make this next step. At some point, we come to the realization that I need to consult the Most High before I make this decision. At some point. But how many of you have regrets about the decision that you made? How many of you wish you can go back and make a different choice? See, that's where I am. But here's the reality, and we're going to get to it because there's all those touches on it. And I know y'all probably said, but brothers, keep reading so we get to it. We're going to get that. Walk with me for a minute. Because, like I said, the only way we come to be what Abba wants us to be, we got to go through the tribulation. And when you hear the word tribulation, don't just make it this broad thing like the whole world is hunting us down, trying to kill us. That's not the tribulation. I'm talking about what we as individuals go through on an individual, day-to-day basis dealing with secular life. What it is. And the changes that have to take place in us when it comes to really being like the Messiah? How many of us would willingly give one of our children to die on behalf of that young brother who killed the 15-year-old girl? He's going to be facing a death penalty. How many of us would say, hold up, don't kill that brother. Don't kill him who's deserving of being killed for the life that he took. Here, kill my child instead. How many of us, by show of hands, are willing to do that? You know, I found out recently in some things they may report on the news, they may not report on the national news, but it may be reported on the local news. But I don't remember where this took place at. But apparently there was a young brother who killed a young man, and the young man that he killed, his mother was going to the grave site to visit where her son was buried, and the same person that killed her son follows her to the grave site and kills her. And it's like, for what? So that man right there, who again, deserving of death, how many of us are willing to let our child die in his place by show of hands? Now, I'm not going to name children. I know your children, some of those who are listening. I even know some of the younger folks' children's names. Choose one. Which one will you give up to die in the place of somebody else? That's why we started off that way. How many of you would be willing to step in for either one of those? And I went to the extreme. You know, taking an example of somebody who killed somebody. That's an extreme. You see? But when Mashiach did what he did at the command of Abba, that is exactly what he was doing. That's the realism of it. See what was done. Somebody who was not deserving of it was willing to lay their lives down for an entire world, past, present, future, who are all worthy of death. We are worthy of it. Let's continue. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 4. He says, a sensible person mourns, but fools always laugh. Harsh correction is better than the songs of a fool. Listen to that. Think about that. Meditate on that. He says, foolish laughter is stupid. It sounds like thorns crackling in a fire. And I'm not sure if any of you ever did this, but sometimes when I was at work or when I'm out and about and I'm going past a group of people, and I mean just people in general, and people are just talking, and in my mind I'm thinking about, what is it that they're talking about? Because for some reason, I don't think they're talking about the word. And I'm not trying to say the only thing you should be talking about is the word. We're going to get into that too. From the global, he covers so many areas. We're going to get into that mindset too. But I think about that when I hear people laughing and stuff like that. What are they laughing at? What is it that they find so amusing? What is it that they find so funny? And it's not to say that things don't happen in life that make us laugh, that we find hilarious. Of course we're going to find some comedy in different things. But I just ask these questions sometimes. You know? But listen to what he says. Again, verse 6. Foolish laughter is stupid. It sounds like thorns crackling in a fire. Corruption makes fools of sensible people. And bribes can ruin you. See? That's why he commands his representatives, be it priest, judge, not to take bribes, not to take gifts. Why? Because now, in your mind, you may feel like you owe this person because they gave you something. And when it comes time to judge them, you may look favorably upon them, even if they're guilty. The rich do it all the time. See, things that we don't see, things that we don't know. Right now, for example, I don't know how true this is, but we all know Trump did some stuff. He did something for the FBI to raid his home. Allegedly, he took some classified documents that he was not supposed to take. And for the life of me, with everything that's going on with this man, why would you do that? I don't know if he did or didn't, but if he did, why would you do that, knowing all the stuff they're going to throw at you? They don't want you in their little program. So why would you do that? But let's just say, for example's sake, let's say he did do that. Let's say that they charge him. Well, one thought that I came across in regard to that is that they're not going to incarcerate him. Why wouldn't they incarcerate him if he committed a crime? Because it would look badly upon the nation. And what will occur is that he will get a pardon. In spite of being guilty, in spite of potentially deserving whatever the sentence is, he may get a pardon so that it not look bad on the country. Like I said, I'm just using this as an example. We don't know which way this is going to fall, but we'll see. But I'm using this as a point as far as this passage here. Corruption makes fools of principled people, and bribes can ruin you. Okay? Verse 8, something completed better than something just begun. Patience is better than too much pride. And all of these, it's similar to what we read in the Proverbs, what people refer to as these wise sayings. But these sayings, these are realities that Brother Shlomo has came to the realization of. He says, verse 9, only fools get angry quickly and hold a grudge. So when it comes to dealing with different circumstances in life, how many of us are quick to get angry about it? You know, like they say, man, I go from 0 to 100 quick. That's not good. Think about how many people go from 0 to 100. Next thing you know, they react based on their emotions, and they take a life. Now, you got to deal with the consequences of your actions. Because I believe a lot of these men out here, or women out here, that are killing people, they are oftentimes reacting based on their anger, which is unmanaged. Think about these death suicides, right? Somebody may have an altercation. They get so angry, they kill this person that they love. And then as a result of realizing what they've done, because they really love this person so much, and they just were so overwhelmed with anger that they took their life, and they can't live with the fact that they took the life of this person they love, so they end up killing themselves. All because they didn't. And again, I know that's an extreme, but hopefully y'all get the point. He says, only fools get angry quickly and hold a grudge. What is the purpose of being resentful towards an individual? Because it doesn't affect the individual. It only affects you. You are the individual that's affected by the grudges. You are affecting your relationships with everybody around you because you resent something that somebody else did to you who was living their life and moving forward, but you're stuck because that's what holding the grudge basically does. You can't move forward holding the grudge. You're stuck in that mental and that emotional grasp. And every relationship that you come across is going to be affected by that. That's why forgiveness is so important. And when people hear about forgiveness, which you mean, I'm supposed to just forgive them like they ain't do nothing wrong? No, it ain't for that. It's for you. It's a release. only going to be a shackle to me. But if I forgive them, I'm freeing myself of being shackled by that resentment that I hold. You see? He says, verse 10, it isn't wise, and this hit here, right here. It isn't wise to ask, why is everything worse than it used to be? Why is everything worse than it used to be? Now, let me read it from this, another translation. King James Version says it this way. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Listen to that. It's like, you know, what people oftentimes do. They get around and they talk about what we have often referred to as the good old days. You know? The good old days. I've done it. Boy, I remember when I was younger. And things used to be this way, things used to be that way. So listen to what he says. He says, is it wise to ask why is everything worse than it used to be? And then the King James says it this way. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Now, just ask that question. In other words, you know what the thought is behind that? Stop living in the past. And that's one of my problems right now. That's the reason why throughout the course of the week, in between me having a relationship with the Creator, I commiserate over the past. Oh, I wish it would have been this way. I wish it would have been that way. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy because it'll never change. It's always going to be the same. So the realization that I'm coming to, why keep thinking about it? And it's easy to say, just stop thinking about it. Because I've told people that suffer from anxiety, that's worried about what's going to happen, or they keep thinking about things. What you got to do, you got to stop thinking about it. But guess what? I think about it. And that time when I stop, and then guess what happens? Something else comes along, and it just provokes that thought once again. So I got to wrestle with this now again, get that out of my mind. That's why I said, or rather asked last week, when we think about thoughts, what we got to keep in mind, thoughts are basically like spirits. See? This fighting, this wrestling that we do, right? The adversary knows where he got you. If he can keep you ruminating on this thought, so you fight it and you get through and you're okay and you're not thinking about it and you're not giving it any time, but then he knows what to do to bring that thought right back to you. So it comes another direction. And I've said this, here I go again. Like that song, here I go again. Thinking about the same thing. Now I got to wrestle with it from this perspective that he brought me to it. And I got to battle and I wrestle with it and I battle and I wrestle with it. And then I get through it. And when I say of course, I'm talking to believers. If you're on this line and you're listening, I'm assuming you are a believer. Otherwise, you'll be on today doing whatever you do. When I say that, it's, of course, with the help of the Most High, because if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the Creator strengthening me, I would have been gone a long time ago. And what I mean by that, I would have probably put myself out. And you know why I say that? Because I understand to some degree why people commit suicide. In your mind, you just want it to stop. They don't believe there's no other out. There's no other option than to take themselves out, and now I can be at peace and don't have to struggle with this anymore. I've had those thoughts. But you know what stopped me? I can say the Most High stopped me, but you know what else? My fear of death. I still have that fear. I talked years ago and said, I don't fear death anymore. Well, guess what? All that I was talking, apparently it wasn't for me. I remember explaining to you all what death was. I don't know if everybody remembers that, but the way that I believe the Most High showed it to me, it's like you're going to sleep. Because when you are asleep, you don't know what's going on all around you. You don't know. How many times, and one thing I realized about myself as I've gotten older, I can't go to the movies anymore. In fact, every time that I've been to the movies as I've gotten a little older, I always fall asleep. Always. And even if it's something I want to see, I fall asleep. And it's not because the movie is boring. It's because those seats they got where you can put your feet up now, they got nice cushion seats, and it's all dark in there, and you know. And then you know, 9 times out of 10, you done ate for snacks, and all you done got comfortable, I fall asleep. But anyway, point being, outside of all of that, you know, I still have that fear. And when I was teaching about that, it wasn't for me. It was for somebody else. And I realize that now because part of me wants to die. I feel that way. Just so I don't have to juggle back and forth with what I go through in my mind. But then part of me wants to live. But the realization is, it's not under my control. I can't determine that. I heard somebody say, I want to live to 120. I would love to live to 120. And if not 120, I was talking to one brother, can I just get to 70? And then in my corrupt mind and my corrupt thinking, I'm like, well, my aunt got to 70. And I said in this context of my aunt being evil. I love my aunt. I'm going to go see her. Most likely I will not get up there tomorrow. But I know she's not a believer, too. And she got the minutes to see 70. But see, and all that I'm saying to you all, these are some of the things that I go through in my mind. And so once we read a little bit more about what Brother Shlomo wrote here, you will see how meaningful this has been for me. Maybe it's meaningful to you, too. I don't know. I don't know your life. You know your life. I only know what I go through. That's it. I know what I experience. So he says, again, verse 10, it isn't wise to ask why is everything worse than it used to be. Having wisdom is better than an inheritance. Wisdom will protect you just like money. Knowledge with good sense will lead you to life. When you think about wisdom, he's talking about his word as he's shown through Brother Moshe. He told Israel, this is your wisdom when he was explaining to them the importance of the laws and the statutes and the judgments. This is our wisdom. You see? He says, having wisdom is better than an inheritance. Wisdom will protect you just like money. Knowledge with good sense will lead you to life. Now, here's the part right here. Here's the part, verses 13 and 14. He said, and when I say here's the part, I'm not saying the only part. I'm talking about that part of what Allah would help me to speak different things about myself. He said, think of what Elohim has done. Consider it, right? If Elohim make something crooked, can you make it straight? That's along the same lines of what the Messiah said. How many of you, if you, by just thinking about it, can add a stature to how tall you are? I don't like me, you know, I found out from a survey that most women, they like men to be at least 6 feet or taller. Well, guess what? I'm only 5'9". And let's see how much meditating I can do to grow at least 3 more inches. Ain't enough meditation in the world that's going to make me grow 3 more inches. I got to accept the fact that I am not the height that most women want. And there's absolutely nothing I can do to change it. He says, I'm going to read this again into verse 14. Think of what Elohim has done. If Elohim makes something crooked, can you make it straight? When times are good, you should be cheerful. When times are bad, think what it means. Elohim makes them both to keep us from knowing what will happen next. And what that brought me to is acceptance. And that is what I'm struggling with. Accepting the fact that these past 36 years, they happened. There's nothing I can do to change it. Oh, you don't know how much I regret all that I went through. But I can't change it. I have to accept that. And I hate the fact that I have to accept that. Why did my life have to be like this? And I've learned these are some questions that you don't want to ask. Like I just asked, well, why didn't I get this, get that? This happened to me, that happened to me. How come I can't have this, can't have that, didn't get this, didn't get that? You can't change it. No matter how hard you try, you can't undo what took place. So I had right here, right now, at this moment that you hear me, that just passed. And that moment just passed. And that moment, if you understand what I'm saying, with every passing moment, what can I do differently? I have to accept it. And this is why he says, Elohim makes them both to keep us from knowing what will happen next. But what's next for me? Is something cheerful going to happen? Is something good going to happen to me? Or do I have to endure another bad event? I don't know. We don't know. But guess what? When it happens, accept it. Because you can't change it, whatever the case may be. And oftentimes, we don't want to change cheerful things in the first place. But when bad things happen, but it's supposed to be that way. It is ordained by the Most High to occur that way. It's part of the decision that was made. And I'm not talking about the decision that Hawa made and Adam made by partaking of that forbidden fruit. That's not the decision. The decision that Abba made to create this world in the first place and to put physical man on it in the first place and to allow physical man to experience both the good and the evil. All we want in our lives is good. That's why you have some people, in order to maintain good in their life, what they say, by hook or crook, right? They're going to do whatever it takes, and they don't care who they got to step on. They don't care who they got to hurt so that I can have good. But when you are a servant, a son, a friend of the Most High, you don't have that choice. You don't have the option to do something evil just to maintain something good in your life. You don't have that choice. Because you have to live your life according to the parameters that the rest of the world don't have to live by. So they can do whatever it is they want to do. And a lot of times you see them succeeding and it's like, wow. Maybe not all. Maybe some people have accepted that. And they move it forward. But for me, that frustrates me to no end. To see how much evil is going on in this world and to see in spite of the evil that these people are having, it seems like things are going good for them. But then here's the other piece. And going back to what Rabbi said in that teaching. When you think you had problems, remember that woman who had to watch her sons one by one, not just die. It's not like they just brought each son up and put a bullet in their head and they died instantaneously. No, she had to watch them be tortured. Absolutely nothing she can do. And seeing them in a the line, whatever age range they was lined up in, whether it was the oldest to the youngest or the youngest to the oldest, to see each one of her children suffer and be put to death because they did not reject the Most High. And when you look at that, again, I have to ask, do I really have problems? Well, not of that degree. I don't. But then one of the things that I with myself trying to rationalize and trying to put a spin on it, so what does that mean now? What I look at as being problematic mean that much? Now, logically or reasonably speaking, I should be able to say, you know what? In comparison to what they went through, this ain't nothing. But it don't happen that way. I still feel the same way. Maybe at one point it will change. Hopefully. That's part of the reason why I'm saying it. He says confession is made unto salvation. So I'm confessing my faults. Take it any way you want. Accept it or reject it. But I am a person no different than anybody else. I have said that numerous times. A lot of times people, when it comes to being a representative of the Most High, people, they look for you to be, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, because you are supposed to be an example. We think about the Kohanim. They're supposed to be markers. But what people fail to realize, the Kohanim, guess what? They was people. That means they made out of the same flesh and blood you made out of. That means that they have the exact same carnal mind, the same human nature that you had. That means whatever the process is that you have to go through to become what the Most High wants you to become, guess what? We got to go through it too. And even more so because of the extra added responsibility of being a Kohanim or Nabi'im, priest or prophet, spokesperson for the Most High. Even more so. He says, verse 15, I have seen everything during this sense of life of mine. I've seen good citizens die for doing the right thing. And I have seen criminals live to a ripe old age. You hear that? He witnessed this. He said, so don't destroy yourself by being too good or acting too smart. In other words, you got these people out here who want to be extra, you know, to use one of the terms the younger folks say. They want to be extra. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to abstain from this, and I'm going to abstain from that. Here's what we're supposed to do. He said, don't add to my word or take away from my word. Just live your life and do what it is I want you to do, right, to the best of your ability. That's why, if you remember, going back to the old rabbi, which, again, Abba, he prayed for giving us a man who was willing to submit himself to the point where he was willing to be that vessel and deliver to us the messages that we need that still resonate with us till this day. The foundation that he laid through Rabbi Gershom ben Daniel was a blessing to those who persevered and sat at his feet. Okay? But like he said, not to be too heavenly minded that you are no earthly good. This is what Brother Shlomo talking about here. You know, you come across some people who are the so-called holy rollers, and they hold their nose up to who they believe to be not on their level. How are you, as an individual, going to have the audacity to hold your nose up to anybody when Mashiach, Yahushua, it said that he congregated with the publicans and the sinners? That's who he was rubbing elbows with. So if he was around today, he'll be up in the pub, what they call the pub today, up in the bar, and he was sitting and drinking and talking with them. If they wanted to hear some more when he left, they followed him, and they went to the lakeside or the seaside, and he sat and he talked with them. Like they say today, he chopped it up with them. He was even ostracized, condemned. How is it that you're going to go into the house of this sinner, this publican, So what did he say? He said, these are the ones who have need of the physician. Y'all all right, based on what y'all saying, let y'all tell it. Y'all okay. The sick are the ones who are in need of the physician. They're the ones who need my help. They're the ones who are trusting of my word. Y'all think you're righteous. But because y'all say you see, your sin remains. They thought they was right. They was the holy roller. But y'all skip this part in Ecclesiastes in y'all Talmud class. Sin again. Don't destroy yourself by being too good or acting too smart. Don't die before your time by being too evil or acting like a fool. So again, he's not substantiating. So if, what you mean acting too good, too righteous? He's talking about what I just explained, when people have the audacity to think that they're better than somebody else. I'm no different than any other individual. That's why I say I'm just another motor scooter. That is absolutely correct. That's all I am. I'm no different than my next-door neighbors, whether they're to my right, to my left, apart, the speed up and behind me. I'm no different. The only thing that separates me from them is the fact that I have accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as my Savior and my Redeemer. That is, other than that, I'm a human being just like them. Says, verse 18, keep to the middle of the road. You can do this if you truly respect Elohim. Now, what he's not saying is this. He's not saying it's okay to do a little bit of wickedness, a little bit of wrong, and then do a little bit of righteousness. That's not what he's saying. See? He's going to bring out the reality of what it is he's talking about. Because he doesn't incorporate, or he's not, incorporate is not lifting up being wicked. That's not what he's doing. Let's read a little more so we can get to it. Again, verse 18, keep to the middle of the road. You can do this if you truly respect Elohim. Wisdom, oh, this part right here, timeliness. Wisdom will make you stronger than the 10 most powerful leaders in your city. Now, you could actually take this verse right here and just take that out, put a pin in that one. No, and I say put a pin in it because that actually ties into some things that we were recently looking at on YouTube. But anyway, I don't want to belabor that point. I want to keep it moving so we can be done with chapter 7. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Here it is. No one in this world always does right. And this is the point he's getting at. He's not putting it up and he's not saying, you know, try to stick to the middle and like do a little bit of good, do a little bit of evil. No, he's saying it in the context that I already know that there is none righteous, no, not one. That's the mindset he's coming from. He already knows that humanity is going to do evil. Instead of being fully and overly engrossed in evil, stick to the middle where you are incorporating more good in your life. The Creator already knows we're going to slip up. That's why even later on in that lineage of prophets, somebody had to come along and say, he that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. We are all sinners. We are all striving to be like the Messiah in the context of being without sin. But guess what? We slip up sometimes, unbeknownst to us a lot of times. That's why we pray that Allah forgive us for the sin we commit willfully and unwillfully, because we sometimes do things that we are unaware of. Until the Most High brings it to your attention, as he's been doing with me. He says, again, verse 20, no one in this world always does right. Don't listen to everything that everyone says, or you might hear your servant cursing you. Haven't you cursed many others? In other words, people want to know everything everybody's talking. You don't have to know. It's not good to know everything. You don't have to know everything. It's not good to know everything. And when you think about it, do you really want to know everything? No, you don't. Because, see, if people say, well, yeah, I think I should know everything. Well, that means when that comes out of your mouth, here's what's coming back to you. That means everybody should know everything about you as well. That's why he said the next thing. He said, haven't you cursed many others? How many people have you talked negatively about behind their backs? So if you find out about everybody that's talked negatively about behind your back, guess what's got to come to the forefront? All the negative you just said about somebody too. So in other words, it's best to leave well enough alone. Leave it alone. He says, verse 23, I told myself that I would be smart and try to understand all of this, but it was too much for me. Listen to what he's talking about now. He, again, remember, Brother Shlomo, he's on this track. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I want to understand why it is that we go through everything that we go through under the sun. But then he comes to the realization, he says, I told myself that I would be smart and try to understand all of this, but it was too much for me. The truth is beyond us. See, and is. We don't have any logical or reasonable explanation as to why some of the things occur. And people want to see, why does this happen? Why does that happen? You know, people ask these questions. Why does bad things happen to good people? It doesn't make sense. Like the brother just brought out. You got the righteous man, and he's living righteously, and guess what? He dies at a young age. And here you got this other man who's doing all this evil and wickedness, and he lives to a ripe old age. It doesn't make sense. And it's not supposed to. Verse 25. So I decided to learn everything I could and become wise enough to discover what life is all about. At the same time, I wanted to understand why it's stupid and senseless to be an evil fool. Here is what I discovered. A bad woman is worse than death. She is a trap, reaching out with body and soul to catch you. And you know, it's funny. I tell you, the word, that's why when people talk about the word being outdated and antiquated, et cetera, it's funny how in today's language, what they'll say about different women or what women start to say about themselves, that, oh, I'll snatch your soul. Why has that become a thing? People say she's a soul snatcher. Why would somebody say something like that? What is that to boast to brag about? But it's interesting that people have been brought, and I'm talking about society today, have been brought to that. And listen to what it's saying about these women. And not women in general. Let me clarify. A bad woman. See? And that's something that I learned years ago. The adversary, my apologies. The adversary can do more damage with an attractive woman than with an unattractive woman. Simple and plain. Simple and plain. And this is what he's talking about. Listen to what he says again. He says, here's what I discovered. A bad woman is worse than death. She is a trap, reaching out with body and soul to catch you. But if you obey Elohim, you can escape. If you don't obey, you're done for. Listen to that. See, that goes right back to when he says obey Elohim, you can get through it. Why? Because this is our wisdom. His laws, his statutes, his judgments. And this is what a lot of people in the world are missing. They're missing that. When people say, you don't have to do these things anymore, You're not under the law, you're under grace. No, are you missing it? This is how we're able to get through things. But let's move on. We're almost done. He says, verse 27, with all my wisdom, I have tried to find out how everything fits together. But so far, I have not been able to. Do you know there is one good man in a thousand, but never have I found a good woman. In other words, it's what, and let me just add, what his point is this. Number one, it's hard finding a good man. This is what he's observed. And that's not unusual. Remember, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Elohim. So it's not unusual. But this is what he's saying again. It's even more rare to find a good woman. Why is that? Why is that? Think about what we were talking about last Shabbat. And again, the reason why we were pulling from these different resources and bringing different things to the table to put in your remembrance is because of all of the activities that have been going on in this world. Yes, it affects the world. It affects men and women. But especially women. Now, one point that was being made in regard to that was there last week, or if you heard last week, was about the significance of the man. The men are being attacked. The men are under attack. Okay? Why? Because the man represents the headship. Simple and plain. Whether you accept that or not, it's the truth. But how the man is being attacked is through the woman. And this is what he's talking about. Hold up, brother. You mean Solomon talking about it's not hard. It's hard to find a good woman because they're being used to attack the men. Part of it is. That's the whole idea behind feminism. Changing things. And one thing that I didn't get to mention, even when I look at social media, you know how many Israelite women are on there making posts and teaching things about the scriptures? Women. Now they're going to say, I'm not saying women can't teach. We understand, and you know, so, I'm not saying women can't teach at all. Women can teach, but according to the word, the women are supposed to teach the other women. The women are not supposed to usurp that authority over the man. Learn from one another. We can learn from one another. A husband and a wife talking is totally different than a woman making videos and putting video. You can't put a video on social media and expect that only women go and listen to it. That's unrealistic. Unless you have a personal page and unless you have it set up to where your videos are private, and only those who you allow to view them can view them. It may be able to take place that way. But my point in mentioning that is to simply show is how you have a lot more women out here who want to be the face of what it means to be an Israelite. And that is not according to the will of the Most High. And they're being moved by a spirit of feminism to do that. Otherwise, remember, the women's place was supposed to be stolen. The women's place, here we go, down with the patriarchy. But the patriarchy is based on the word. That's his order. He set it up that way. If you got an issue with patriarchy, if you got an issue with the man being ahead, you got an issue with the creator. You don't have an issue with men. You have an issue with the creator of the heavens and the earth, the same entity that allows you to breathe, the same entity. entity by whose spirit you're breathing allows you to think and to reason, even allows you to come up with this idea that you think women are better or more superior. You don't have a problem with men. You have a problem with divine order. That's why we looked at briefly the word subordinate. It means simply to be under order. And we are all under order. Whether you break ranks or not, guess what? When we stand before the judgment seat, we are going to give an account of how we live. I don't care what you believe about the patriarchy. If your mindset was to go against it and to tear it down, guess what? You are going against and attempting to tear down the divine order of Yahweh Elohim, period. You can view it any way you want to view it, accept it or reject it. What is being told to you right now is the truth. So this is why Brother Shlomo went as far as saying, but never have I found a good woman. Because not saying it's something that's just impossible, it's a rarity. Think about what he said as far as how we're supposed to acknowledge the woman as being the weaker vessel. Think about how the adversary has used that. Think about it. All word we're talking about. Not saying Abba can't use a woman. We've learned about Deborah. We've learned about Huldah. Huldah was a prophetess who existed during the time of Jeremiah that the men went to receive the word of Yah. So it's not saying that women can't be used. We know that the Holy Spirit is going to be given to both the sons and the daughters of Israel, or those who accept Mashiach Yahusha as their Savior and their Redeemer. We understand that. But it still does not negate the fact that the word also establishes an order, and I'm moving past that. And let's go to this final verse here, 29. I did learn one thing. Now, let me go back up to verse 27. Let's get down, and we want to see how he got to this book. With all my wisdom, I have tried to find out how everything fits together. But so far, I have not been able to. I do know there is one good man in 1,000, but never have I found a good woman. I did learn one thing. We, Elohim, created us. But now we have twisted minds. Listen to this. This is the conclusion. And see, hold up, man. But he ain't saying nothing. The Creator already said in his word, let's go back to that. That it's like the brother mentioned that last night. A lot of times people look. He ain't saying nothing new. He ain't saying nothing that we didn't already know. He says this. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So when we go back to what Brother Shlomo said, man, Brother Shlomo only said that because the word already taught that. There ain't nothing new. But here's what we got to understand. Listen to what he said. With all my wisdom, I have tried to find out how everything fits together. I did learn one thing. Yes. Abba did reveal that through Moshe in the Torah and in other places. But what we're supposed to be gleaning from this is this. We have to learn these things. Not just because the Bible says so, because we actually starting to see the reality of what the Bible is saying as being so, if you understand what I mean. It's not just because the Bible says that I believe that. I see it. Whether the Bible says it or not, I see humanity's mind has been twisted. to you. Why is a 9-year-old child having murder on their mind? When I was 9 years old, I don't think I was thinking about killing nobody. Our minds are twisted. And Solomon realizes that. That's what we're supposed to be gleaning from this. Sure, the word teaches it. But what we have to do, we have to come to the reality of these things. That's why we have to have these life experiences. It can't just be because, well, I believe what the Bible says. Yes, we believe what the Bible says, but at some point we have to come to the reality that what the Bible says is true, not just because the Bible says it, but because we know it, because it's reality. We see it happening in front of us every day. That's what we're supposed to be coming to. It goes beyond just believing. At some point, we have to come to know these things. Hopefully everybody understands that, you know. But again, throughout this particular chapter, what the Creator was helping me to see, again, about me. Introspection, which takes us to something that Brother Shaul wrote. He said to examine yourself. We are supposed to do that every single day. But life happens. I know this. I understand this. You know, so when people ask me about me, you know, how am I doing? My response is typically going to be this. I'm good at the moment. Or I'm living life on life's terms. And that last part I got from a friend of mine or an associate of mine that I knew years ago. And I don't remember whether we were talking on the phone as he said this or whether we were in person or whether it was on Facebook. I don't even remember. But I do remember the person who said this to me, and it stuck with me. And I hadn't always said it. I just recently started saying it because it applies. No, we all are living life on life's terms. We don't know what the next moment holds for us, let alone tomorrow or next week, etc. We don't know. We hope that it will be for our good so that we can be careful. But if it turns out to be far bad, brings us to the next point that I will help me to see during this particular chapter. And that's acceptance. We have to accept the good with the bad. I know we've heard it. You know, we've heard it so much it just sounds so cliche, as they say. We have to take the bitter with the sweet. We do. That's the reality. We may not like it. I know I don't like it. And I'm being honest with you. And I'm being honest. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, hey, this bad thing happened to me, and I'm just perfectly fine with it. No, I'm not going to tell you that. I don't like that it happened. Hey, brother, what about the word? Brother Paul said, yeah, Brother Paul did say that. So what did Brother Paul have to go through to get to that? It wasn't overnight. He didn't just become a fool and glory overnight. He had to go to that, and most high willing, maybe at some time I can become a fool and glory over my calamity. But right now, it still affects me. It still hurts me. You know, and I say that, but I also have to add, and I'm adding this because, and I do this on behalf of the most high, I am thankful that the Most High provides me a place to live. And I am thankful that he has provided me with a vehicle to get back and forth wherever I need to go. I am thankful that he provides me with the resources to maintain this home and the vehicle. I'm thankful right now for my health and strength. I'm thankful for those things. But there are still other parts of my life that I feel negativity about. And I don't like myself for feeling that negativity, but I'm just being honest with y'all, telling y'all how I really feel about it. You know, and that's why I said earlier, you can take it however you want to take it. But this is me being as real as I can be as a human being, you know, who has real life issues and real life struggles that go beyond just my wife dying and my son dying. It's not even about that so much anymore. And I'm not saying that I don't miss them. I do miss them. If I could have, you know, anything, if I could ask for something right now and I can get it, I would want them both back. But I know that's not going to happen, you know. So to some degree, I am moving beyond that part of it. But because of that happening, it has opened the door now for the Creator to allow me to see other things that are going on within me. Things happening. My son happening was like a break. My wife happening was like a break. And now it's like because of these, I mean, and let me not lose sight. And let me not forget about my other son. I mean, that hurts me too, the one that's incarcerated. That hurts me. Every time he tells me about a circumstance that he's into because he up in there with these niggas who got this negative mentality, he's surrounded by niggerdom, if you will. Some of those people in there, they got a bad deal. Maybe they shouldn't be in there, but I believe that the majority of those cats belong in there because of what they did and how they lived. And when you're around such negativity, sometimes it's hard to maintain a right frame of mind. You know? And whenever he tells me about a circumstance, that hurts me because there's absolutely nothing I can do. Nothing but ask the Creator to protect him, as he has been doing up to this point. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm still sad about the circumstance that he's in. Even though he shouldn't have did what he did, I still feel bad about it. So all of these different things happening in my life, I'm sad about the mentality of my oldest son and what he's went through and how it has shaped and molded him to be who he has become. I can't undo it. I can't fix it. So there's a lot of things that have been used in my life that the Creator has, you know, has broken me. But him breaking me now allows me to see more about who I am and what I need to do to be better. Whether or not I'm going to become better, I don't know. Because I don't know how much time I got and I don't know how long it's going to take. So I rest in the fact that I believe that Yahushua HaMashiach is the word of Yah who became flesh, who laid down his life for the sins of humanity. And if we accept that sacrifice, we have eternal life. I rest in that with the hope that when I die, I receive eternal life at the very least. At the very least. So, that being said, I'm going to stop right now, and I don't think I have enough time to do this. Well, let's see. Let me at least do this. Bless Yahusha, a king of the universe, rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahusha, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are a mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah. Bishop Yahushua HaMashiach. Shabbat shalom, Mr. Pastor.
Shema Yisrael. Yehovah Eloheinu. Elle va avec Je suis une entente de bonnique De tes basses cabanes De chute cave, bébé cave L'est cave d'erre Au charme cave, ou mecha Ou chtap dans les hôtes alliés d'eca Ve haïou le toast à pot Ben et necha Ou chtap dans elle me zozot Beteika ou vicha aneka
Know of a surety that thou seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And they shall enslave and oppress them for 400 years. In the fourth and in the last generation. Yes, you shall journey into captivity a second time in ships. Because you have rejected his instructions.